Okay, so it looks like we're doing a deep dive into child therapy today.
Yeah.
And you've even got some stuff from Davenport Psychology in Bradenton. That's awesome. You're really thinking ahead. I know we always talk about mental health being important,
Right.
but sometimes it feels like we forget just how crucial it is for kids.
You're so right. It's easy to get caught up in the day-to-day, but early intervention can really make a huge difference in a child's life. And what's really fascinating is how much the field has evolved. We're not just talking about fixing problems anymore. It's about giving kids a solid foundation to thrive.
It's like we're finally realizing that mental health is just as important as physical health,
Exactly.
especially during those formative years.
And that's where this Davenport Psychology article comes in. They jump right into the potential benefits, things like boosting emotional regulation, improving communication skills, and building self-esteem. It's almost like they're saying therapy is about creating a well-rounded
I
individual.
think that's such a refreshing perspective.
Yeah.
And they go on to highlight a few different types of therapy. I was particularly interested in play therapy.
Oh, yeah.
It seems so much more approachable for younger children.
Right.
Instead of sitting down and talking about their problems, they can express themselves through play.
It's brilliant, really. Play is a child's natural language. By tapping into that, therapists can build trust, understand the child's world, and help them process complex emotions in a way that feels safe and natural.
They also touch upon behavioral therapy and CBT. I
Yeah.
remember learning about those in college, but it would be great to hear more about how they apply specifically to children.
Well, with behavioral therapy, the focus is on understanding how behaviors are learned and how they can be modified. It's very practical and goal-oriented. Think of it as creating a system of positive reinforcement to encourage desired behaviors.
So instead of punishing negative behaviors, you're rewarding positive ones.
Precisely, it's about creating a positive learning environment where the child feels empowered to make changes. For example, let's say a child is struggling with interrupting others. A therapist might work with the parents and child to create a reward system for when the child waits their turn to speak.
So maybe they get a sticker on a chart each time they successfully wait their turn.
Yeah.
And after a certain number of stickers, they get a small reward.
Exactly. It's about creating a visual and tangible representation of their progress. And as they experience success, it reinforces the positive behavior.
That makes sense. Now, how does CBT differ from behavioral therapy?
CBT takes a step further by focusing on the thoughts and beliefs that influence behaviors. It's based on the idea that our thoughts, feelings, and behaviors are interconnected. By helping children identify and challenge negative thought patterns, CBT equips them with the skills to manage their emotions and make more positive choices.
So it's about understanding that our thoughts can actually influence how we feel and behave.
Right.
For example, if a child constantly tells themselves they're bad at math,
Yeah.
that thought might lead to anxiety and avoidance of math-related tasks.
That's a great example. In this case, a CBT therapist might work with the child to challenge that negative thought by exploring evidence that supports or contradicts it. They might encourage the child to focus on their strengths in math or help them develop more positive self-talk.
So it's about empowering them to reframe their thinking and ultimately change their behavior.
Exactly. And that can have a ripple effect across all areas of their life.
Now, one thing that stood out to me in his Davenport article
Yeah.
was their emphasis on finding the right therapist. They even suggest reading reviews and considering factors like credentials and approach to therapy.
Couldn't agree more. It's such a personal decision, and you want to feel confident that the therapist is a good fit for your child and your family. Just like you would when choosing a doctor, it's about finding someone you trust and feel comfortable with.
They also talk about how important it is to be open with the therapist, both for the child and the parents. It's a two-way street, right?
Absolutely. The more open and honest everyone is, the more effective the therapy can be. It's a collaborative process, and communication is key.
Now, before we move on to the importance of early intervention, I wanted to ask you about something that often comes up in our conversations with other parents. The stigma surrounding mental health.
Oh, yeah.
It's still a barrier for many families, especially when it comes to seeking help for their children.
It's a valid concern. Unfortunately, the stigma surrounding mental health is still very real. But the good news is that we're seeing more and more open conversations about mental health, which is helping to break down those barriers.
That's encouraging to hear. I think it's crucial for parents to understand that seeking help for their child is a sign of strength, not weakness.
Absolutely. It's an act of love and a commitment to their child's well-being. And the sooner we can address any challenges, the better the outcome. Which brings us to the topic of early intervention. early intervention really is key when it comes to children's mental health. It's like tending to a garden. The sooner you address any issues, the healthier and more vibrant the garden will be.
I love that analogy. It really drives home the point. But I think a lot of parents struggle with knowing when intervention is actually necessary. How do you know if your child is just going through a typical phase or if their struggles warrant professional help?
That's a question I hear all the time. It's not always easy to tell, but there are some signs to look for. For example, if you notice significant changes in your child's behavior, mood, or academic performance that last for more than a couple of weeks, it might be a good idea to consult with a professional.
So changes that are persistent and seem to be affecting their daily life.
Exactly. It's also important to trust your instincts as a parent. You know your child better than anyone. So if you're concerned, it's always best to err on the side of caution.
That's good advice. And I imagine finding the right therapist can be a daunting task. There are so many different approaches and specialties.
You're right. It can feel overwhelming. But remember, this Davenport article provides some great tips for finding the right fit. They suggest considering factors like the therapist's credentials, experience, and approach to therapy.
And they even recommend reading online reviews, which can be helpful to get a sense of other parents' experiences.
It's also a good idea to ask for referrals from your pediatrician friends or family members. Word of mouth can be incredibly valuable when it comes to finding a therapist.
I think it's also important to find a therapist who is conveniently located and who offers flexible scheduling. After all, consistency in therapy is essential, and attending regular sessions should be as stress-free as possible.
You've hit the nail on the head. Making therapy accessible and convenient is so important, especially for busy families.
And remember, therapy is a journey, not a quick fix. It takes time to build trust, develop coping skills, and make progress, so patience and consistency are key.
Speaking of journeys, I was struck by something else in this Davenport article. They talk about the importance of fostering a culture of open communication about mental health, not just within families, but within the community as well.
That's such a crucial point. We need to normalize these conversations and break down the stigma surrounding mental health.
It starts with education awareness and empathy. We need to create safe spaces where children feel comfortable talking about their feelings and seeking help without fear of judgment.
I think it's also important for adults to model healthy behaviors. If we're open about our own struggles and demonstrate healthy coping mechanisms, it sends a powerful message to children.
Absolutely. It shows them that vulnerability is a strength, not a weakness, and that asking for help is a sign of self-awareness and courage.
Now, shifting gears a bit, I know you're interested in understanding the specific challenges children in Bradenton might be facing. I remember the Davenport article mentioned that the demand for pediatric mental health services has been increasing in the area.
Yes, and that aligns with national trends. It's not necessarily that there are more children with mental health challenges, but rather that awareness is growing and more families are seeking help.
That makes sense. Do you have any insights into the specific issues that might be prevalent in Bradenton?
Well, while every community is unique, there are some common threads we see across the board. Anxiety and depression are often at the top of the list, affecting children of all ages.
It's important for parents to be aware of the signs, right? Sometimes anxiety can manifest as physical symptoms like stomach aches or headaches.
Exactly. It can be tricky because children might not always be able to express their feelings verbally, so it's crucial to pay attention to any significant changes in behavior or mood.
And what about depression? How does that typically present in children?
Depression in children can often look different than in adults. They might be more irritable or withdrawn, lose interest in activities they used to enjoy, or have changes in their sleep or appetite.
It's almost like they're expressing their sadness through their behavior.
That's a great way to put it. And of course, there's ADHD, which is characterized by inattention, hyperactivity, and impulsivity.
I remember reading that ADHD can have a significant impact on a child's academic performance and social interactions if it's not properly managed.
That's true. It's important to have a comprehensive approach that includes both therapy and, in some cases, medication.
So we've covered a lot of ground here, from understanding the benefits of therapy and finding the right therapist to addressing the stigma surrounding mental health and recognizing the challenges that children in Bradenton might be facing. Now, I'd love to hear your perspective on this. What are some of the most important takeaways for someone considering therapy for their child?
Well, first and foremost, remember that seeking help is a sign of strength, not weakness. It shows that you're proactive and committed to your child's well-being. And secondly, know that you're not alone. There are countless resources available to support you and your child on this journey.
Those are powerful messages. And I think it's important to emphasize that therapy is an investment in a child's future. It's about giving them the tools they need to navigate life's challenges and to thrive in all aspects of their lives.
Beautifully said. It's about empowering them to reach their full potential and to live happy, healthy, and fulfilling lives.
Now, before we move on to discussing some specific resources available in Bradenton, I wanted to touch upon a topic that often comes up in our conversations with parents: the cost of therapy. I know it can be a significant barrier for some families.
That's a valid concern. Therapy can be expensive, but there are often options available to make it more affordable. For example, some therapists offer sliding scale fees based on income.
And some insurance plans cover a portion of therapy costs. It's definitely worth exploring those options.
You're right, and don't be afraid to ask for help. There are often community organizations and nonprofits that offer financial assistance for mental health services.
That's a good reminder. Now, let's talk about those resources in Bradenton. So where can parents even begin their search for these resources? I know it can feel overwhelming to navigate the mental health system, especially when you're already feeling stressed and worried.
You're so right. It can definitely feel like a maze.
Yeah.
But remember, this Davenport article mentioned that Bradenton has a strong network of support,
okay,
including mental health clinics, private practices, and even community organizations.
That's reassuring to know. And I imagine school counselors can also be a great resource.
Absolutely. They often have a good understanding of the resources available in the community.
Yeah.
And can provide guidance to families. And don't forget, online directories and websites like Psychology Today,
right,
can also be helpful in finding therapists who specialize in working with children.
That's a great tip.
Mm-hmm.
I know a lot of parents rely on those online resources to find therapists who are a good fit for their family.
Yeah. And remember, reaching out to your child's pediatrician is a great first step. They can often offer referrals to mental health professionals or provide guidance on navigating the system.
It's all about taking that first step, right?
Yeah.
Even if it feels daunting, just reaching out for help can make a world of difference.
You've hit the nail on the head. It's about advocating for your child and getting them the support they deserve.
Now, I wanted to circle back to something we touched upon earlier.
Okay.
The idea of fostering a culture of open communication about mental health, not just within families, but within the community as a whole.
Mm-hmm.
What are some practical steps that communities can take to create this kind of environment?
That's such an important question. It starts with education and awareness. Communities can implement programs in schools and other community settings to teach children about mental health.
Yeah.
To destigmatize seeking help and to promote positive coping skills.
I think it's also about creating opportunities for open dialogue.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe hosting community events or workshops where parents and children can share their experiences and learn from each other.
Yeah. That's a great idea. Peer support can be incredibly powerful. And of course, community leaders and policymakers have a role to play as well. They can advocate for increased funding for mental health services, implement policies that support mental well-being, and work to reduce disparities in access to care.
It's a collective effort, right? Everyone has a role to play in creating a community that prioritizes mental health.
Exactly. It's about coming together to build a more supportive and compassionate society where children feel safe, valued, and empowered to reach their full potential.
I think that's a beautiful message to leave our listeners with. It's about recognizing that mental health is not just an individual issue, it's a community issue, a societal issue, and we all have a responsibility to create an environment where children can thrive.
Beautifully said. And remember, every act of kindness, every conversation, every effort to break down stigma makes a difference together. Mm. We can create a brighter future for all children.
Thank you so much for joining us today. We hope this deep dive into the benefits of child therapy has been helpful and informative. And for those of you listening, remember that you're not alone on this journey. There are resources available, there are people who care, and there is hope.